Okay, good Christmas Eve morning to everyone. Glad you all made it. I'm always interested. I'm not amazed that unbelievers don't really care about Christ's birthday, but I'm always amazed at Christians that can't go to church at Christmas time. They're too busy to celebrate the birth of their Savior. But that's the way it goes. On the back table, you will have a 2018 calendar of the Risleys, their yearly calendar. And it says, thank you. Being too old to be accepted by a mission board, we took a leap of faith that by means of your prayerful support, the power of God has resulted in thousands coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, their stories of the conversions are just, they're just, I can listen to them all day. No two are exactly the same. God bless you, and it is our prayer that your holidays will be holy and blessed by the Lord, the Risley family. And in it you get the history and many of the current things that the Risleys are doing. Courtney the doctor and Grady just wanted prime time. And he's got one on here. Let's see. Got to read this one to you. It says, Grady, no, this isn't it. Here we go. Grady the welder, and he's welding. Grady the nursery worker, and he's holding a bunch of babies. Grady the chauffeur, and there's a lot of people in his van. Grady the hugger, he's hugging somebody. Grady the watcher. Grady the barber. And Grady, the teacher, holding his Bible. So he just wanted some prime time. And but you can pick these up and have them for your for the year. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer as we begin this Christmas Eve service. Let's begin. Oh, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the decision of God to become man, become the servant of men, humble himself to be born of a woman, crucified on a cross, risen from the grave, that we might have everlasting life. We know not one of us are worthy of such love, but we're recipients of it and most grateful. We thank you for this season. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what it means to each of us individually. Regardless of what it means to the world, to us individually, it is a great season of joy and rejoicing at the love of God, the love of Christ. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, everything's going to be different this morning. We're not going to sing right now. But we are going to sing, but not right now. First of all, let's take care of prayer requests and announcements. Do we have any prayer requests and announcements? Yes. Anel's not feeling well. Where is Anel?
He's home.
Home? Anel? My goodness, we'll be in prayer for Anel. Where's his wife?
I got a touch of the flu.
My goodness. What's going around in our family? There's going to be about 20 of them over this afternoon, and they're all sick. And I don't know if I'm going to be running a restaurant or a clinic. And my goodness.
He probably has it too, but you made him come.
Well, we'll be in prayer. Tell her we're in prayer. Tell her we're in prayer. Yes, sir.
So, prayer of Thanksgiving. So the last week, we got wonderful donations for the families that needed food over at the Garden Gate Apartments. So
good.
We took that to them on Tuesday, and just so appreciative, so wonderful to be able to provide that to those families. So
well, that was a wonderful report you gave.
Thank you to everybody for their generous donations.
That was a wonderful report. Looking forward to a good year.
The lady, Maggie, who told us about the family, come to find out she had an MRI that day. They just found a tumor. in her, so she wasn't even really sharing a lot about that, but we found out talking more to her, a lot of health issues and a lot of concerns. She's missing a lot of work, and it's just her daughter that's helping take care of her. So her name's Maggie, if you guys would be praying for her.
Okay. Prayer for Maggie. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, I see that hand in the back row. You're saved.
I'm in the back row because I don't want to get in trouble, right?
Okay. I'll be back there in a minute.
Now you are in trouble.
Thanksgiving to everybody that the doctor said, I'm released and I'm good to go.
Fantastic. Wow, very good. That's praise to our Lord. Very good. And our praise to him and our warning to Phil. I mean, no, that didn't mean that. All right, any other prayer requests? Okay. How's your dad doing?
Better. I talked to him yesterday, before yesterday, and he sounded really well. He's on a good direction as far as health.
Good.
He feels that people, he's got the right people in place to help him.
Good.
And everything since, what was it, November 1st? No concerns since November 1st.
Okay.
So
tell LT we're in prayer.
Continue to pray there. Another prayer of Thanksgiving. The Coxes, Jeff and Leah Cox, and all of their family all made it in safely last night. It was kind of a tumultuous journey, but they got here safely. So
good.
We're grateful for that.
All right. Very good. Wake them up when you get home. All right. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give nor grudgingly nor necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. It's nothing that I can change, but giving in America is not biblical. It's government designed. We give according to taxes. We give according to the rules of the government and those kind of things. And works good, works bad. There's some kind of movement. Of course, I think there always has been, but it's getting increasing support to start taxing all churches. Now, the large denominational churches, the Roman Catholics, the Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, a lot of them would go broke and if they taxed all their property. But it's a time when the government does allow certain benefits in regard to giving. And you heard last week, we have the young peoples, we have internet, a lot of things that the Lord is opening up for us in our church, in our assembly. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this humble assembly. We are amazed that you give us so much to do, so many opportunities. Father, we just ask for more opportunities with missionaries, young people, prison ministry, right in our own assembly, the internet. Just give us the opportunity, Father, for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the Word of God. And Father, we pray, therefore, you receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use these offerings for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, one of those rare things, not only have I got something for today, but I'm ready for Christmas of 2018 because I didn't know which of the two I wanted to do today. So I'll be working on 2018, and whenever that rolls around, we'll be ready for that one. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at response and reactions to the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're filled with the Spirit, for He is a true teacher, the one who enlightened as to truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is the birth that changed history. This is the birth that changed eternity. This is the birth, Heavenly Father, of our Savior. And therefore we rejoice in it. But Heavenly Father, as many of us who do rejoice, there are a multitude who are in remorse, who resent it, who deny it. Father, we pray Your Spirit will open our eyes to things as we look at these passages of Scripture this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, I have 10 response reactions to the birth of Jesus Christ. The first, angels and the parents of John the Baptist. Angels and the parents of John the Baptist. Now, greatly involved with the birth of Christ are angels, as we'll see as we go through this morning. What happened, whatever morning you want to pick as the birth of Jesus Christ, some people can legitimately show that it was the end of December. Others say, no, it was in the spring. Others say, no, it was around September. So, whatever day you pick, is the angels have a pertinent part of the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that as we go through this. Now, we're going to start with the parents of John the Baptist, because the Bible does. But he is going to be the herald of our Savior. And so, in the study of the angelic conflict, angels realize how vitally important the birth of Jesus Christ is. Begin the study of angels in the first book given to us. It's the book of Job. Job chapter 1. The first book, the first chapter, introduces the angelic conflict. Then it goes all the way through the Word of God. And the Christmas story begins with angels. The angel Gabriel announces the birth of John the Baptist to his parents. Now, you got to realize, Elizabeth is a barren older woman. And she had given up all hope of ever having a child. And an angel came to them and told them they would have a child. Now, the story is really a beautiful story, but we're going to go on and not read from it. But in case you want to know, Luke chapter 1, 5 through 25. Luke 1, 5 through 25 deals with the angel coming to the parents of John the Baptist. The coming of the angels to announce the birth is very significant in Scripture. Samson's parents. Samson's mother was barren, and an angel came and told them they would be having a male child. And so it is now with Jesus Christ and with John the Baptist. Okay, that's the first one. Second, angels and the parents of Jesus. First of all, to Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel Gabriel, again, sent to a young woman, a virgin, named Mary, living in Nazareth, maybe 15 years old. She was going to become pregnant and give birth to a male child. And she was to name him Yeshua, Jesus. He will sit on the throne of David, and he shall be called the Son of God. Now, what is remarkable, I know we can read, and we'll probably read a lot of the Christmas story in the next few minutes, but one section of Scripture that a lot of people don't read. Why was Mary chosen? What's so special? I want to tell you why Mary was chosen. This young teenage girl knew so much of the Old Testament prophecy. She knew and believed more than the scribes and Pharisees and the chief of the high priest. She knew a great deal. I want you to read Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, 46 through 56. And what we're reading here is the praise of this teenage girl for what was going to happen to her body in giving birth. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, now the angel has told her she's going to have this child. And she said, how can that be? I'm a virgin. She and the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come over you. And all these things would happen. And that they were to name him Yeshua. Okay, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Look at that. She knows he's a Savior. God, Savior. Her spirit and her soul are involved. Verse 48. And he has regard for the humble state of his bond slave. That's her. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. That's have respect, awe, reverence of him. Believe in him. Verse 51. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has shattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. That's what happened on the cross, his arms outstretched. Verse 52. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. Past tense. She's getting ready to have him as a baby, and she knows that he has existed in eternity past and for all history. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoken to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months, that is with Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and then returned to her home. So, this is how much she knew of the Old Testament, the coming Messiah. She knew that he was going to be born of a virgin. And she realizes now that is her. Okay? What about her husband? What's going to be his response? She's going to be pregnant. They have not had sex yet. They're not married yet. What's he supposed to do when she becomes pregnant? So the angel of the Lord came to Joseph upon learning that Mary was already pregnant. Now, what do you plan to do? Now, see, would you understand, by law, he should have her stoned. That's by law. She was engaged to him, pregnant by somebody else, stone her. He did not want to do that. He loved her. He was a righteous man, a believer. So he planned to just send her away. Don't know where to send her away. But the angel came to him and said that she was going to have a male child, told Joseph that they were to name him Yeshua, Jesus, and that he would save his own people from their sins. He obeyed the angel, kept Mary a virgin until she gave birth. All this was to fulfill Old Testament scripture, the prophecy, Jeremiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We will begin reading in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, engaged to Joseph, before they came together sexually, She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away privately. But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not, or any who he is, the son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken of the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Joseph got up from his sleep, did exactly as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took her as his wife. And he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he continued to obey, calling his name Yeshua, or Jesus. Okay, that's the second. Let's go to the third. The third, we come to Gentiles. Gentile scientists. Gentile scientists from the area, which is today Iraq, but of Babylon. And they are going to come, they're wise men, or they're scholars, they're students of astronomy, science. And how did they know about all this? Following that star. Let me explain to you very quickly. Daniel. Young Daniel, taken into captivity, also a young teenager, from Judah to Babylon. That would be like a Christian being taken to Muslim land. Taken to Babylon, educated, brought up in the royal court and the schooling. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he said, you know what? If I tell my wise men the dream, they'll just make up an interpretation. I'm going to make it more difficult. Tell me what I dreamed, and then tell me what it means. Well, they just said, that's ridiculous. No one ever asked anyone ever to do that. That is impossible to do. And he said, let me tell you something. This is all in Daniel 2. Let me tell you something. I know what you're doing. You're buying time. You don't know what I dreamed. You'd make up some kind of interpretation. I'm going to have all of you executed, murdered, killed, and your families, and all your land turned into outhouses, dump heaps. That's what I'm going to do. So, the obedient guard of Nebuchadnezzar came to do that. Daniel, young man, what are you doing this for? And he told Daniel. And he said that all of you are to be killed. Daniel was in that class now. He said, let me speak to the king. First of all, he said, let me have a night, and then let me speak to the king. You know what he did that night? Prayer with three friends. The four of them got together, went into prayer. And then he said, let me meet Nebuchadnezzar. He told Nebuchadnezzar his dream. He told Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of his dream. And he was highly promoted. But more importantly, it got the attention of all of these older scholars, astronomers, got their attention. He saved their lives and their families' lives. They listened to him. He told them of the coming Jewish Messiah who would save the world. And they believed him. And people, for over 500 years, they passed it from one generation of scholars to the next, and they kept looking, they kept looking, they kept looking for that star. Daniel said, you'll know it. You'll know this star. And one day they saw that star. Now, the reason I put them here, I know that we have Elizabeth pregnant, and that's going to be 9 months before the time of Jesus. and then Mary 9 months before. We don't know how long it took these wise men to travel. It was more than three. There was an entourage. And they would travel from the area of Babylon to Judah, and they would enter into the area of Jerusalem. Now, what they will do is they will ask, where is he who is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star and have come to worship him. These are believers, Gentile believers from a foreign land who believe in the Jewish coming of the Jewish Messiah. And they took up their traveling and came to Jerusalem looking for this child. So this gospel has been passed down in this area of the world for these 500 years, and the elite class believed it and looked for it. Can you imagine? Christians get tired if the rapture hadn't occurred in 100 years. These people have been doing it for 500 years, looking. They didn't finally say, you know what, that didn't never happen. No, they kept looking, and all of a sudden, the star appeared, and they knew it immediately. And they gathered up, and they came to Jerusalem. That brings us to the fourth category. The fourth category, Gentile authorities of the land. Herod the Great, king of the Jews. Now, he was not Jewish. He was a Edomian of the Edomites, of the descendants of Esau. He acquired his position as king from Mark Antony of Rome. I don't think he ever believed in Jesus. But I tell you what, if I had a couple of $1 billion, I'd do a movie on this man. He is unbelievable. He is a remarkable person of history. He was able to escape the area of the Edomites, went over to Egypt. Cleopatra, the famous Cleopatra, tried to seduce him. She wanted to make him in charge of her navy. He did not give in to her physically. He reclined to take care of her army or navy. And so she just politely said, you got to get out of here. So he takes off across the Mediterranean, ends up on the island of Crete. They have a storm. I mean, an unbelievable storm. It devastated the whole island. This man organized the rebuilding of the whole area that was hurt by the storm and didn't ask for a dime. But he did say, here's what I would like you to do for me after I restored your island. Build me a ship, a great ship. Because you see, he knows one thing about Romans. They love big stuff. If you come in with a big flare, they love it. So he rolls into the port of Rome in his beautiful big ship. And, of course, Caesar, Augustus, and all of them, they're really taken with him. So they make him king of Jerusalem. So it was Mark Antony. Mark Antony made him king of Israel. Now, he was arrogant, had a flair, he built. So, for an example, Caesar's port in Caesarea. He named it Caesar after Caesar. He built an unbelievable port for that time. I mean, he had concrete ball pulled down into the harbor. It is unbelievable. It's a tremendous study. Tremendous study on his harbor. He built the second temple. He built it. It's called the Herod's Temple, but it's all his temple. And I mean, he built it unbelievable. He tore down the old one, built this thing up. It was an unbelievable temple. You could see it from distance away. It was white. It was beautiful. So he rebuilt the temple. He rebuilt a lot of places in Israel. He built the Herodium, which Judith and I have been there. Eve, did you go to Herodium? It's a magnificent structure where he's going to be buried. But it's all about five different layers down into the mountain, and it is an unbelievable sight. You can see it from Bethlehem. If you stand on Bethlehem, you look across and you can see the Herodium. And so this is Herod the Great. Now, here come these wise men. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? Wait a minute, I thought I was King of the Jews. This isn't good. This is not good. Somebody's going to take my place. And Jerusalem was in fear with him. So what he did, he went and got with the wise people, wise men, and he said, first thing he did, he said, you know what, I don't know. But he consulted the priesthood, high priest, where is this Messiah to be born? They knew. They told him it was going to be in Bethlehem. And then upon finding that out, Herod told the wise men, go there. If you find him, come back and tell me so that I can worship him also. See? And this fulfilled a... then what happened was, as you know the story, the angel of the Lord, in a dream, told the wise men, don't go back to Herod, don't go through Jerusalem, go around it, take the belt line that goes around Jerusalem, and go home that way. And Herod found that out. That made him mad. So he went in, and he had all the babies 2 years and younger. He didn't know the exact age. 2 years and younger, murdered. And you can think of that as a mother, a dad, family. And what this does fulfills another prophecy in Jeremiah 30. The birth of Christ is filled with prophecy. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. Matthew 2:16-18 gives that story. That brings us to the fifth group. The fifth group, Jewish religious leaders, chief priests and scribes. People, they knew what you and I call the Christmas story. They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew that he was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They didn't believe it. Here is a Gentile who believes it so much, he's going to have babies killed. Here are Gentile scientists who believe it. They travel for days, months to come to this birth. Here are the chief priests and scribes. They know it, and they don't believe it. Gentiles believe it. Jewish leaders do not believe it. So Herod believed the scriptures more than they believed the scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Just a few passages, verse 4 through 6. And gathering them all, the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod began to inquire of them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. And they said to him, well, we've got to go check it out. No, they knew. In Bethlehem of Judea. For it has been written by the prophet. They know the prophecy. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are no more, by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. So they knew it. They didn't believe it. But I'll tell you who does believe it. This Gentile Herod. He believes it, and you're going to have people killed because of it. I'll tell you who else believes it. Scientists. From Iraq, from Babylon. They believe it, and they travel with expensive gifts. So that's the fifth group. Let's go to the sixth group. The sixth group, Gentile Caesar Augustus. Gentile Caesar Augustus has his part in the birth of Christ. He demands that everyone return to the city of his birth. And therefore, Joseph and Mary, descendants of David, had to go to Bethlehem by decree of the government. So they had to move, and that's how they would end up in Bethlehem. A Gentile unbeliever will be the part that God will use to get Joseph and Mary to where he wants them in Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy of the birth of Christ. That brings us to the seventh group. Shepherds watching over their flock by night. Believing Jewish shepherds. And these shepherds are going to have a visit from an angel, and they'll make their way to the newborn Messiah. Brings us to the eighth group. The eighth group, again the angel, proclaiming his birth to the shepherds, not to the religious leaders. Think about that. Who should be the ones we'd be consulting? The Jewish leaders, the priests, the high priest of all people, the scribes, the Pharisees. Not a word. The lowly shepherds out in the flocks. See, these are believing shepherds. And a host of angels singing his praises. So let's turn to Luke. You have to go to Matthew and Luke to get a lot of the story together. Luke chapter 2. Let's read Luke 2, verse 1, starting in verse 1. And it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census while Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all of this is very important, but we're just going to read through. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea. Now you see, Jesus is going to be said to be from Nazareth. He's going to be said to be from Bethlehem, as well as from Egypt. Okay? To Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David. Fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in death clothes. These are death clothes that were in the stable. And laid him in a manger. Not a baby's crib, a manger. You know what that is? That's a feeding trough. You know why he's laid in a feeding trough? Because he is what the world will eat from for eternal life, partaking of Jesus Christ. Because there was no room for him in the inn. And the same region, okay, here we go, there were shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. I can imagine these shepherds. They're out there, it's dark, and all of a sudden an angel stands there before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David," which is right there near them, "there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in death clothes and laying in a manger." You're not going to find babies laying in a manger, in a feeding trough. Maybe in a crib, but not a feeding trough. And wrapped in death clothes? And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And whom will he be pleased with? Everyone who believes in this Jesus, in this Messiah as their Savior. So, the seventh group, the shepherds watching their flock. And then, to finish that story, look down at Luke 2, verse 25. We'll finish the shepherd story here. Luke 2, 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Whoop, that's not what I wanted. Just a moment. Okay, verse 15, I'm sorry. Verse 15 to 20. And it came about when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem. Now I want you to think what's being done here. The most important thing to any shepherd are the responsibility of those sheep. They're going to lead the sheep. It is believed that these were the sheep that would be slaughtered in the Passover. So they know the Passover lamb has come, and they leave the sheep. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he laid in the feeding trough. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which was told to them about this child. And all who heard in wonder at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told them. Okay? That brings us to the eighth. And the eighth is the angels proclaiming to the angels, which we just read, Luke chapter 2, 9 through 14. Now the ninth group, Simeon and Anna, a temple worker. They're part of the Christmas story. Look at Luke chapter 2. Look at Luke chapter 2. Okay, we're going to start reading for Simeon, verse 21. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, Yeshua. The name given by the angel before. Verse 21, Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, Yeshua, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for his purification, according to the law of Moses, was completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what has been, to what is, was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. This is unbelievable. There was a man in Jerusalem. Name was Simeon. This man was righteous, a believer, and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. He's looking for the Messiah. That's what he's looking for. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is before the day of Pentecost. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he, Simeon, took him, Jesus, into his Simeon's arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, that means letting him die in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, He knows it's also salvation for the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at these things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, the child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul. That will happen at the cross when she sees the sword pierce into the side of Jesus, pierce into thy own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now, here's the next person. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then he died, and then as a widow to the age of 84. 84 is quite old at this time. And she, it's quite old today. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So that's 9. We've gone through 9 different people involved. The 10th, each of you. What's his birth mean to you? What's his birth mean to you every day throughout the year? What's his birth mean to you financially? What you do with your money, your time, what you do with your life? How important is the birth of the Messiah? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Simeon and Anna, express our thoughts. We can die now. We've seen the Messiah. We've come to know him. We believe in him. We can die in peace. We can die encouraged of eternity because we have seen Jesus Christ in your word. Father, we thank you for the story, told primarily by Matthew and Luke. Pray that these words would just continue with us for a few days. The drama to unbelievers, believers, Gentiles, Jews, at the birth of our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, we got a special for you today. And for those 3 or 4 of you with me, are you going to stay seated? The rest of y'all will come up here.
Shepherd. Lives for my me. Do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
Amen.
Please join and stand and join us in the finale, Silent Night. It gets very slow at the very end.
I've lengthened the 6 second delay, so it'll heal further.
Silent night, holy night,
This day to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hail to the King, Christ the Savior is born. Father, we raise up this congregation, we raise up this country, we raise up our families to you, our King. And Father, we thank you for all the blessings. We thank you for the blessing, the freedom that we have to come together and worship. We pray, Father, that throughout 2018 you will guide us and guide our country, guide our leaders. And Father, throughout this week, we just pray that we celebrate each and every moment, each and every day, our Savior is born. And each day going forward, we just spread the good news, share it with all those that are lost. Thank you, sir, for who you are and all that you do for each one of us. In Christ's name, amen.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Huh? You're up there. Okay.
Oh, don't let that break.
Get down. Over here. Julie? Thank you very much, Dad. Pretty long. Soft. No, it isn't.